Maybe the first time you heard of the House of David was in the birth story of Jesus. Joseph had to travel to Bethlehem to register for the census because he was of the House of David, and David's home was Bethlehem. You can see in the genealogies provided by Matthew and Luke, Jesus was of the House of David. I can talk about the House of David. I am of the House of David. I lived in David's house.
Although King David successfully conquered the country surrounding Israel and acquired great wealth, he was a dismal failure as a father and leader of his family.
If you look at the men and women of Jesus' genealogies, you will see that it's not necessarily that awesome to be related to many of those people. In fact, David is not that awesome if you look at the many aspects of his life. However, David and the House of David stood for something that was awesome, in the truest sense of the word. And you see what that was if you consider David's kingdom not long after his affair with Bathsheba. Peace and money. What could be better? Only one thing. He possessed more land than Israel had ever had. It would not be far off to say that he possessed all the land God promised to Abraham for the first and last time. Prosperity, peace, and possession of the land. That is what the House of David stood for. And peace, not only with all nations, but with God. Prosperity, peace, and possession. That became the ideal state of being for the ancient Jews. That is what the promised Messiah would bring back to the Jews. No matter how bad things got, the Jews expected God would provide a Messiah that would bring back prosperity, peace, and possession of the land. For 3,000 years, that's what most Jewish people have thought of when they thought of the House of David. Prosperity, peace, and possession of the land, and the promised Messiah. My father was the famous King David of Israel. His first wife was Michal, the daughter of King Saul. Saul took her away from David while he was an outlaw and married her to someone else. At the time, David was married to Bathsheba. He was midway through his 40-year reign. He had conquered all the countries surrounding Israel, and no large empires threatened Israel. Money was pouring into the country. David was amassing huge amounts of wealth. I think of a more literal House of David, the house that I lived in. Later, David got Michal back, and when she disrespected him, he declared that they would not have any children. Whether it was God's will or David's abstinence, Michal did not have any children. While David was an outlaw, he married Ahinoam, who gave him his firstborn son, Amnon. While married to Ahinoam, he married Abigail, the widow of Nabal. Now, that seemed pretty good to him, so he married Micah, Haggith, Abital, and Eglon. He had other wives and many concubines as well. Many of his wives and concubines had children. Remember, David was the second king of Israel, so there weren't any laws about how many wives a king should have. Moses indicated that men should only have one wife, but he also said that kings should not take many wives, which left room for kings to have more than one. However, my father justified having more than one wife, it was not a wise thing to do. I grew up in a boiling cauldron of scheming wives and competitive brothers and sisters, half-brothers and half-sisters, and other siblings that had no official status. family was a train wreck. And that would come back to haunt David and the country for the last part of David's reign and for the next several centuries. At the top of the sibling heap was David's oldest son, Amnon, my half-brother. Spoiled, spiteful, and dangerous. I completely misunderstood how awful he was. He tricked me into bringing him some food, and he raped me. Then, in a fit of anger, he threw me out of his presence, which was a double dose of disrespect. What did my father do? My wonderful, highly respected, after God's own heart father? Nothing. Nothing. Oh, he heard about it and he was angry, but he did nothing. Now, my full brother, Absalom, was not so timid. He took me into his house to care for me and bided his time. 2 years later, after getting Amnon drunk, my full brother Absalom killed him. Absalom had to live in exile for 3 years, but then he returned to the kingdom, full of himself and full of hatred for David. Once again, Absalom bided his time. He built up favor with the people and then launched a conspiracy against David. Seeing that he would be overwhelmed and not wanting to launch a battle unprepared, David left Jerusalem with his dedicated followers. Absalom was in such a strong position that there was seemingly no way he could keep from destroying David and his army. But through his inexperience and taking bad advice, Absalom turned certain victory into horrific defeat. And in the process, was killed by Joab, the commander of David's army. You can imagine that after Absalom's death, my position became even more tenuous. The Bible doesn't say what happened to me, but you can expect that I lived out my life as a member of the royal family. Now, you see why I'm not so impressed with the house of David. Instead of being safe in David's house, I was destroyed by it. Am I bitter? Confused? Why did the Lord God of Israel love my father so very much? Why did God consider David's heart to have been so perfect? Why didn't God punish my father for ignoring how his son destroyed my life? Did the writer of Chronicles give him a great spin in the historical records? Listen to what the writer of the book of 1 Kings said about him. David did that which was right in the eyes of the Lord, and turned not aside from anything that he commanded him all the days of his life. Save only in the matter of Uriah the Hittite. What about me?
Amnon, David's oldest son, was dead. Absalom, the third oldest son, was dead. And the Bible does not say what happened to the second oldest son, Caleb or Daniel. As David aged, his fourth oldest son, Adonijah, he set himself up to be the next king. I mean, he had no chance to be the next king, but Adonijah didn't know it yet. Now, the first child of David and Bathsheba died as punishment for David's actions in committing adultery with Bathsheba and murdering her husband. David and Bathsheba got married and had another son, Solomon. This son was way down on the birth order and had no obvious way of becoming king. However, Bathsheba was as clever as she was beautiful. She decided to shortcut the process by having David promise her that Solomon would be the successor to David. You know, with her intelligence and feminine wiles, David had no alternative but to give in to her demand. Adonijah gave it a big effort, but he lost the game, and he eventually lost his life. I was personally involved in anointing Solomon to be David's successor, so I am very aware of how close Adonijah came to succeeding David as king. However, while he was alive, David turned the kingship over to Solomon. David died at a good old age, having enjoyed long life, wealth, and honor. I should know, because I wrote the records of his reign and power and, you know, all the circumstances that surrounded him. The entire time I wrote the record of David's kingdom, I kept asking myself one question. Was David a good king or a bad king? He immensely expanded his country's borders. He gained peace and prosperity for his country. He worshiped only God. He had God's own heart and served his people. However, he was a man of war. He was an awful father. He set the example for the king to have many wives, murdered Uriah, and committed adultery with Bathsheba. It just wouldn't want to pronounce judgment on him. I remember the look on his face when he repented of his affair with Bathsheba and his killing of Uriah. I remember his prayers and fasting and nights in sackcloth when his innocent child was dying because of David's own sins. What can be said? I mean, what can I say? He's a man after God's own heart.